Corinthians, the second chapter, and we'll read verses 12 through 15 from the Word of the Lord today. And I appreciate God's Word, don't you? Amen. The youth class will remain in the auditorium today. Oh. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, Paul's writing to the church here. He said, but now much more in my absence. And he said, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And he said, do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Amen. I want his way to be in my life. Don't you? Amen. Today I want to talk to us about the good pleasure of God. Amen. The good pleasure of God. Amen. Would you pray with us? Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness today. Thank you for the plan that you have for our souls, God. I thank you for what you're going to do today in this service. Thank you for the ministry of your word and the ministry of your spirit today. We give you praise and we give you honor today, Jesus. Amen. Somebody say amen. Would you put your Bible down? And would you give the Lord your praise right now? Clap your hands, applaud God. Oh, would you thank him for the privilege today to be in his house? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that privilege, Lord. We worship you. We love you. We thank you today. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you today, Jesus. You may be seated in Jesus' name. The good pleasure of God, he said. You know, he won't say good pleasure to work in you, that you may be blameless, harmless. Even the sons of God without rebuke, God wants his will to be done in your life. I love it in Luke 12:32. He told Jesus, said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Also in 2 Thessalonians, he said, wherefore also we're praying for you, Paul's writing, that God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all good pleasure of his goodness. And the work of faith with power. God wants to operate with power in your life. That the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. And ye in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm thankful that God wants us to make it. God is on our side. God is for you. And if God be for you. I'm telling you. Who is that is against us? Amen. Oh, the enemy is not as big as you think, but he sure does his job big, don't he? Amen. Ephesians says this, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, God has revealed his plan according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. How wonderful today to know that my God has enough love, enough power, amen, to say, I want to work in your life. Of all the people in the world, you have the privilege to know the power of the Almighty God. Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus in your life? It is obvious that God's good pleasure is for you. And he wants you to live and do his will. His desire is that you, amen, will allow him to glorify your life. All my life I heard the word glorify, and it always, in my mind, when you hear the word glorify, I think about the glow of a lantern. I want the glory of God to be like a lantern lit inside of me. And I want to be a clear vessel that people could see Jesus in my life. Amen. That's his will for you and I, that we could be, amen, the glory to this world. Amen. It is his will that we live for him. In Acts 15, chapter verse 18, the scripture says this, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. What is that saying? From the very beginning of time, God has strategically plan, amen, to redeem humanity. But in that great scheme of that blueprint and framework of God's desire, God desired deep way before that you would have part in that. It was His will that you would live for Him. I'm telling you, it's not the will of God that you just perish. It's not the will of God that you just live here and die. But all should come to that place called repentance. God wants you to make it. Amen. Evidence. The very beginning of time. Amen. For the blueprints of the Word of God. You and I are in His plans. And I love the song, while He was on the cross, I was on His mind. And the purpose for His suffering and dying was that we today could be His vessels, that He could live inside. You know, we're talking about the good pleasure of God. Now, there is a restaurant. Let me just say this. There's a restaurant here in town that when you go through the line or you're inside the restaurant, the drive-thru or inside, when they give you your product and you say, thank you, they have a comeback that says, my pleasure. I want it always my pleasure to do His good pleasure. I want it to be my pleasure to do the will of God. I want it to be my joy that I could joy in God. But it seems that in the end time, more and more don't feel that good pleasure to do the will of God. It's become a heaviness. It's become a great peril. Amen. Even to walk in this old hour that we're in. But I'm glad that God still has victory for us. Yes. Yes. Amen. It was His good pleasure, Luke said, to give us the kingdom. That we could be part of that. To know the King living inside of your heart. The good pleasure of God refers to His gracious mercy and His sovereign will operating in your life. How wonderful today to know that God has you and I in mind. And that the promise of God is fulfilled in our life. God has promised way back in the Old Testament that one day He was going to redeem mankind. And man would not have to be subject to the penalty of sin. And the bonds and the mastery of sin's effect. Salvation was come. And there wrapped in a manger. Amen. His name was called Emmanuel, which being interpreted God with us. You think when salvation has come? But people live like salvation is come and gone. Jesus is still alive, folks. Amen. He made more than a mere promise, but a covenant. Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, listen what he said. This shall be my covenant that I will make the house of Israel, with the house of Israel. After these days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. The Holy Ghost was prophesied there. That it would be the fulfillment of a covenant that God has made. One day I'm not going to live external. I'm not going to live aside. But I'm going to live inside humanity. I want to work inside the heart of people. It's the will of God that His Spirit lives in you. But also His Spirit will help you to overcome the things that you cannot do on your own. To overcome different things, the enablement of the Spirit of God, a power through the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Even one man asked the question, what is the purpose of the power of the Holy Ghost? It is to keep you and give you the enablement to live in this hour above the old mastery and dominion of sin. I'm thankful for the joy and the pleasure of God. When God fills somebody with the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's God's great pleasure. It's God's great joy for you to have Him in you. And the truth of God is this. That the penalty of sin is removed. I'm thankful that when Jesus Christ comes into life, He does a change, doesn't He? It's more than religion. It's more than joining a church body. It's more than now becoming part of a club. But it's Jesus Christ alive. And he sets you free from the penalty of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus has come that you may have life and it more abundantly. Are you praising God today for that? Or is it just old hat to you? It's a dangerous thing when the message of salvation just becomes just old corn to you. It becomes the message, it ought to be something new to you, exciting to you about the Spirit of God. Amen. All the joy that the penalty of sin is removed. God justifies your soul just as if you never done something. Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus that still washes us and makes us clean? He changes us. And oh, friend, he eradicates the old record against us. And he makes all things new, you see. But I find too in the Word of God, not only is there eradication from the penalty of sin, through the power of the Holy Ghost, God will also give you victory over the power and pull of sin. There will always be temptation, but God has power to give you the upper hand over sin. But the problem is, many don't use it. Many people don't take that authority. They let things overwhelm them. And that sin begins to come against you, and you let sin in, and sin begins to dominate and master your mind. The Bible calls it a carnal mind. A carnal mind. You never find a carnal mind before somebody receives the Holy Ghost. It was a fleshly mind. But a carnal mind is always somebody that the Spirit of the Lord has come in their life. And you have a choice where you can entertain the fleshly mind, and the fleshly mind becomes a carnal mind. Carnal mind. The Bible says a carnal mind is enmity against God. I want a spiritual mind. I want Jesus to operate in my thinking. I want the Holy Ghost to operate in my everyday life. Amen. Oh, how beautiful. But Jesus said in Matthew the 11th chapter, verse 28 through 30, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What is he talking about there? Would you think about it? Sin, naturally, just born in the natural way of being born, will load you down. There's a yoke, a harnessing, a mastering, a weight of sin the Bible talks about. But Jesus said, "You come to me, all you that are weighted down in sin, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is different. My yoke is easy. My yoke is light." I want to tell you, the Lord has made a promise that when he lives inside of you, there's not going to be that bowed down feeling. There's not going to be that old heavy feeling. And friend, when we lose that light feeling in our life, we need to go back to the light of God. It was prophesied that there would be a completion. You see, I stand against it, and I've used it this week several times in teaching, preaching. And I'm going to say it again. The Holy Ghost is not a diploma. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's not a diploma. It's a birth certificate. It's a beginning in your life. Amen. You have to feed something. You have to feed the Spirit. You have to feed that relationship like a husband and wife. When you get married, you say, "I do." Hopefully you didn't leave her at the church. You said, "I do." And where's your bride at, dude? You got a responsibility. God wants his Spirit to take care of you. But if you're dragging your feet and not following along with God, that relationship is not too good. There's some people feel that once you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that's all you got to have, that you're okay. I want to tell you, it's more than a salvation experience. It's a walk in the Holy Ghost. You got to walk with God. You got to have a relationship with God. You got to have a relationship with your spouse. There's communion, communication. Man, it's more than just all the hype. Amen. But it's the walk. And that's the reason why Galatians, the fifth chapter, verse 16, Paul told the church there, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God's call is to live free in His Spirit. It's not an excuse to do whatever you want to do, but to do His will. Amen. I want to just tell you today, it's still essential to have the Holy Ghost in your life. Amen. It's still essential that you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hear me. Amen. The benefits, we look at the benefits, just the benefits of the Holy Ghost. Brother, there's joy, there's peace, there's comfort, there's liberty. The Holy Ghost is your teacher. The Holy Ghost is your guide. You think about all the benefits of the Holy Ghost. And I had a person said, I don't believe that the Holy Ghost is necessary for salvation. And my answer today is this. You look at all the benefits. How can you not see the essentiality of the Holy Ghost? Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. The way that you were born at first from your mother is not good enough. You got to be born again of the water and the Spirit. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I need the Holy Ghost. I need the Spirit of God in operation in my life. It was prophesied way back in the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost as being a completion. That right there to give you an awakening that you need the Spirit of God. We all believe that you have to have that experience. But many people don't see it as having to have that relationship with the Holy Ghost. That walk in the Spirit. Amen. And when you have the Spirit of God, that liberty in God, there's no excuse to just do what you want and leave God your standing. God wants His people to walk with Him. A walk in the Spirit will not feed the compulsions of the selfish flesh. And it was funny because I did children's crusades. And you probably seen me do one before to where I do the object illustrations. I put a chair out. I asked the young man in the church. He's about 6'6". I said, man, I need you to help me. You're going to be King Self. I need you to get me a chair. And he'd come out with a metal folding chair. And so we had King Self. I put a crown on his head, and I said, King Self always attracts different things. Pretty soon, I have Elvis mask. I had Pride come up, a teenager. Put Elvis Presley mask on this teenager, and he sat in the lap of King Self. Then I had another one. I had Rebellion. Rebellion always comes with pride, doesn't it? I had a pirate mask on this other teenager. And he's sitting on the other leg of this guy. And I have a big old costume of a dollar bill. And I had somebody wear it, come walking out. I said, things, possessions. I mean, he comes sitting. Pretty soon I had about six other boys sitting on the legs of old King Self. And I made a statement. I even had Pride, you know, Pride, Elvis Presley. I mean, he was hamming it up. And I said these words, Pride will take you for a ride. When I said those words, that folding chair just all of a sudden gave away. Took him down just slowly. It couldn't have been a better time. But I want to tell you, pride will take you for a ride. Carnality will move in your life in such a way that it will weigh you down, that you have no freedom to live for God. Condemnation will come with these things and begin to weigh you down with the chains of that invisible weight of sin. Hallelujah. I want the Holy Ghost to live in me. How about you? Amen. There, when the Holy Ghost works in you, that yoke of God, it starts working. The root of God starts growing in your life and starts outgrowing things, the whims of the flesh. Amen. The things that are odds against God, you don't want them no more. Amen. You live in the Spirit. Amen. You will be delivered from that mental, emotional garbage. And I'm talking today not to somebody that has not experienced, but I'm talking to us that should, amen, have a walk with God. The mental garbage that we deal with every day and the emotional garbage in our hour is just order to the enemy. Most people think it's just life. I'm going to tell you, it's more than just life. It's when we don't have that close relationship to God. Amen. We need to go through the well every day and draw waters from the wells of salvation with joy. It ought to be a privilege to live for God. The frenzy and the joyless grab for happiness is all around us. People looking for happiness. New things, new cars don't give you happiness. You got to pay for them. beings will never fulfill that in your life. There are people that have all kinds of things that are most miserable. Fame, wealth, all these things will not ever do that. Power, you could be somebody that has a lot of power at the snap of your fingers, but it would never, ever give you fulfillment on the inside. We know these things. But saints of God, let me just challenge you. Don't let these things inside your life. I know we have to have things to survive. Don't be one that pursues after these things. Amen. Oh, brutal tempers start rising up. That paranoid feeling of loneliness. Petty, lopsided pursuits started happening in lives. Vicious habits start operating and demanding from you. Things you can't quit. Uncontrollable addictions start happening. All because, amen, we're not walking with God. Amen. But I'm thankful the power of the Holy Ghost at work. Let's talk about what God can do. God is still able to give you victory and liberty over the things of the flesh. Amen. Oh, it was His good pleasure from the very foundation of the world that you could be in His plan. He wrote it and made it all possible that you today could be covered with His blood. Have His name on your life. And His Spirit living inside of you. God wants His power to work in you. Saint of God. God don't want you to be like a car that you come to the house of God, you just get, well, I just need a little bit. And just take off. God wants you to be full of His Spirit, full of His power. But I find that in order for me to really have that relationship with God, it all hinges on my willingness. It all hinges on me, my appetite for God. That I desire God. I hunger, I thirst for Him. But not only that, but God wants me to always appreciate Him. Have you ever done something for somebody and they just look at it and say, oh no. You just look at, oh, well, thank you. They said thank you, but it's like you could tell. They were not impressed. There's times we've worked hard for things and we had somebody in mind and we gave it to them, put efforts in it. It was a gift that you thought, well, you know, it would be a blessing to them. So you went out of your way, you took your time and your effort and your expenses and you invested in that gift. And when you gave it to them, it was like, Has you ever seen somebody like that way? I want to tell you today, I thank God for what He's given me. I don't want ever just shrug my shoulders and say, oh, well, amen. But I want the gift of God to be taken care of in my life. I want things to matter to me. I'm the type of person when people's giving me stuff, my mom will tell you. All my life, my wife will tell you. My wife's had me more than my mama, but my mama started me out. All my life, I held on to stuff. People give me something, I always held on to it. I would never get rid of it. I mean, if they gave me a little note, I held on to it. Birthday card. I have a great aunt I must have inherited it from. Every graduation card, birthday card, every wedding invitation, she held on for years. And it was something that she could not let go. And there's things that I refuse to let go that I've got from God. Hear me, saint, today in this place. Amen. The Lord has dealt with me about this church. Amen. We don't need to let the things of God so easily slip from us. We want it to be a priority. We want it to be something that we hang on to. Hear me. Let it be a treasure to you what God has done for your life. Amen. Many of you have been in battles here lately. Battles that have cost your faith. Battles that has plagued your mind. Things that has come against you. But I want to tell you, as long as you hang on to what God has done for you and you hang on to your relationship with God, God will see you through. It's no time to quit right now in the midst of the finest hour. It's a great privilege. It's a great privilege to live for God right now. It's a great privilege to have God living inside of us. No better time to know that His plans and actions and His good pleasure that He way, way back said, I want you. I want you to know me. I want you to know my power. I want you to be my agent. See, the Holy Ghost is more than just a feel-good shower. Most people think when you receive the Holy Ghost, it's just that feel good that you get. Folks, I want to tell you there's more to it than that. The Holy Ghost inside of your life. Amen. God wants to light you up that you could be a light to this whole dark world. God wants you to be a lighthouse to our generation. God wants some fire to burn inside of you for a world that is desperately in need of the Almighty God. I believe greatly in this hour that God is looking for somebody to get back to the basis of their relationship with God and realize it's no time to quit now. Oh, friend, isn't it crazy that selfish flesh will always wants to take charge in the And when it does, it puts you in a bind. Reminded early this morning when I got up very early, the Lord dealt with me about preaching this. And the illustration came to mind about an airplane. You probably heard it, but I'm going to say it again. And there were four people flying in this plane. And it was a pilot, two men, and a Boy Scout. And the pilot realized this engine is going down. It's messing up. Finally, he realized the engine is gone. And he looked at everybody. He said, we're going to have to jump. He said, we have parachutes. He said, but there's one problem. There's four of us, and we have three parachutes. In the plane was a pilot, two men, and a Boy Scout. One of the men was a prestigious man, a banker, a man who had all things and properties and all this. And he said, you know, I feel like since I'm the most important one in this place, I should go first. And before the rest of the group inside the plane could ever say anything, he grabbed and he shouldered it and he jumped out of the plane just when the Boy Scout said, my backpack. Instead of a parachute, he got the backpack. I want to tell you, the self will cause you to jump thinking you've got security. But in the end, great is the fall of somebody that follows the whims of the flesh. Are you thankful today that God will help you? I don't want my selfishness to cause me to jump to an uncertain conclusion. Amen. The enemy of your soul is doing his job today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, and it is no marvel for Satan himself is transformed to an angel of light, a deceiver. He masks unholy things as being acceptable. Oh, it's okay. You begin to mess with your mind, making you feel, well, you know, it's okay to do that. After all these years, God has worked on you and you put things away. Why go dig them back up? Why go dig things back up that the Lord has dealt with you time and time again and you finally put it down? Why go resurrect old spirits? The Bible says he would deceive the very elect. Puts his hands over your mind and messes your mind. He said he blinds the mind. Satan does his job well, doesn't he? You know the reason why Satan is doomed? And he wants you to be doomed. He makes you feel that there's no hope in God. But I'm thankful that there is something against him. If God be for you, see the forness of God stands against him. Amen. If God be for you, amen. Hear it today. God is for you. And if God be for you, that's the thing that will conquer the enemy. I've got a God that is for me. I got a God, his good pleasure is for me to make it. If God be for you, who can be against you? The good pleasure of God's for me. God don't want me to perish. But the good pleasure of God stands evident that he wants you to have love, joy, peace in the Holy Ghost. And if it's not there, if you've lost your love, you've lost your joy, and you've lost your peace, you need to go back to the source. Don't be satisfied in what you had 2 days ago. Don't be satisfied with what you had 2 months ago. Amen. We need to go back to the source. Amen. And get refilled all over again. Isn't it amazing? The enemy wants to make it such an impossible passage to get back to God, get back to that place in your relationship with God where you need to be. The devil comes with condemnation. The devil blankets your mind. The devil makes you numb on the inside. That's one of the things the Lord spoke to me. There are people that have become numb. 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 Well, you can't feel anything anymore. I want to just tell you that numbness is of the enemy of your soul. It's not of God. Amen. You can't blame God. God still wants to help you. Amen. God is still wanting to bless your life. Amen. I come to church, but yet, did you come to church and say, God, I'm not bailing out. I don't have a second plan B. God, plan number one, you're still God. You're still the King of Kings. I'm not quitting. I'm hanging on with everything I got. I'm going to get a bulldog grip on the things of God. But so many people are easily knocked off. They start thinking, well, I feel numb. Can't feel God. You sing your favorite songs and you still can't feel the Lord. You pray and you can't feel. Neuropathy is a dangerous thing. Many people lose their toes. They lose their feet. And a great friend of mine, just walking on the beach, man, stepped on a shell, never felt it. And from that, he started losing. A little bit at a time, they start chopping some of it off. A friend in West Texas, Brother Music, stepped on a nail, never felt it. When he got home, he felt something in his shoe when he was taking it off. The nail went through his shoe, through inside of his foot, and he never felt it. He's missing some toes today because of that. I want to tell you, spiritual neuropathy, amen, is part where condemnation comes in and blankets you and keeps you, amen, from having a sensible relationship with God. It'll get a hold of your mind. It'll get a hold of your emotions. But, friend, I want the Lord to operate in my life. It will mess with you in decision making. It will mess with your life where you have no feelings and no regards for the things of God. You start saying standards. That's just rules and regulations. That's neuropathy, friend. You're losing something. You know, our standards should not become weaker. The older we get, it ought to become greater. Amen. We don't need to entertain the gray areas. If you know something's gray, or maybe, get away from the gray areas. There's some people who say, well, the Bible don't mention this. Amen. It may not mention it. It don't mention for it either. But if it's a gray area, you need to run from it. You think the platform standards and the leadership of this is just a pastor just being hard-headed, controlling? There's some people feel that way. Amen. Everybody ought to abide by the platform standards of this church. Amen. Everybody ought to abide by the leadership because everybody's a leader for God. Pastor, what do you mean? I'm telling you, amen, there are things that are important to God that sometimes we write off and toss away and we think, oh, well, that's just this or just that. Hey, friend, don't get neuropathy. Don't lose your feeling. Don't you dare lose your love. Don't ever lose your love for God. But let it be like when you go through Chick-fil-A and that little girl that is behind that counter, when you say, thank you, she says, my pleasure. I want it always to be my pleasure to do his good pleasure. Amen. I want it to be my joy to do the will of God. It's not hard living for God. Oh, friend, when you give God your very best, amen, it's easy to live for God. Heard it all my life. It's easy to live for God when you live for God hard. But it's hard to live for God when you live for God easy. I got to have God. I want to stand stronger than ever. I want the light to burn more inside of me than ever. Come on, I'm preaching to souls today. I'm preaching to people today. This could be my last service. And if it's my last time ever to preach and stand behind a pulpit, I want to give it my very best. I don't want to sugarcoat something that needs to be true and matter of fact. I don't want to bend anything that needs to stand up straight. Amen. And neither do you want to come to the house of God and just hear somebody just say, oh, it's all right. No, friend, we need the preaching of the word of God. We need the things of God. We need to be reminded of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. I looked at an old preacher this week named Brother Robert Nix, been a pioneer missionary to Peru. This older man, I watched him with joy. He's gone through all kind of things. He had all kind of reasons and worldly excuses to quit, but he didn't. I mean, he's lost all kind of things in life. Friends, people that supposedly should have stood behind him come against him. Religious people, I'm not going to call them Christian people, that's far from Christian, amen, they come against him in horrible ways. But I watched that man pray, and that smile out of his face as he raised them old hands up before God. And I watched tears roll down his eyes with joy as he worshiped. I said, God, that's what I want my life to be. Regardless of the storms I've been through, regardless of the battles that I've been through, regardless of the problems I've been through, regardless of all the different things, I want it to be my pleasure to serve the Almighty God. Amen. Oh, I love that scripture. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. I want my house, amen, to be a place where God is still number one. Amen. Is God number one, or has God moved down the list and the line where old King Self now rules? King Self likes to wear that crown. King Self likes to sit in that spot that belongs to God. We believe there's just one God, and there's only one throne. And when God is one, he ought to be number one to you. When you let self rule, self will ruin your life and let you down. I'm thankful for the good pleasure of the Lord is for us. Amen. If God be for you, him being for me, who can be against me? Amen. There's nothing against me today. Amen. That is greater than what's for me. Amen. Would you stand this morning? I want you to lift your hands, and I want you to lift your voice to God today. Amen. I want you to reach up to the Master, and I want you to love God back. Come on, somebody needs to love God back for what he's done for you. You need to love him back for his great mercy and great power. Amen. Love God back. Come on, you don't even supposed to be here today. You don't even belong here according to the terms. Amen. But God has chosen you from the foundation of the world. God has included you. God made a choice for you to be part of his kingdom. Hallelujah. Would you thank the Lord for his grace and mercy? Would you thank the Lord for his goodness? Lord, I thank you. Of all the people, Lord Jesus, of all the people, God, you loved me. You cared for me. God, you brought me to your banqueting table, and your banner over me, oh God, is still love. You still love me in spite of all my failures, all my problems, all my hang-ups. Your love still is for me today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would that we would just come step around the front just for a few moments this morning. Amen. Somebody needs to rededicate, amen, their love to God. Rededicate, amen, their pleasure to God. Rededicate their service to God. Amen. The Lord wants you to reconnect and rededicate your commitment to him. Hallelujah. Come on, don't jump out with your own ambition. Amen. Come on, just don't bail out right now at the finest hour. Amen. Ever to live for God. I'm telling you, the greatest time is now to let God live in your life. It's easy to be distracted. Even now, to let something optionize you, to give you another option and say, oh, well, I want to be distracted. Yeah, I'll follow the distraction. I'll follow what's disturbing me instead of reaching out to what you know is true. Even reach out to Jesus with me, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, reach out to the Lord Jesus.
To you today.
Thank you, Jesus.
With this simple prayer to pray in everything.
My pleasure.
I do,
my pleasure, Jesus.
Let my life.
Come on. Oh,
Lord,
let it be your pleasure.
Praise you.
God, let it be my pleasure.
Praise you.
formed us, He chose us, and He blessed us with the opportunity to put us right where we're at. Amen. It's good pleasure. But I want my pleasure to be His pleasure. My joy to fulfill His joy. Hallelujah. If you need prayer this morning, maybe something going on in your spirit, something going on in your body, and you need the Lord to touch you this morning, I want you to come. Amen. We want to pray for you as a church family. You need healing in your body. But if you need something in your soul today, don't ever hang on the fringes when you know you need something from God. Don't ever be ashamed of saying, Pastor, I'm battling. I need help. Church, pray with me. But don't ever feel that. Amen. That place where you feel embarrassed. Amen. We want to pray with you today. Amen. Anybody needs healing in your body, I want you to come. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to pray for these today. Amen. Brother Trent, we're going to believe the Lord. Amen. We're going to trust our God to do His work. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands, church? give you a testimony. Brother Foster, a year ago, young couple, out of the world, drugs, you name it. While we were there this time at camp, God filled her with the Holy Ghost, her daughter with the Holy Ghost, and the other daughter with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm telling you, mama and teenage daughters, amen, received the Holy Ghost. Husband received the Holy Ghost some time ago. How beautiful to see that. Amen. To watch the help of the Lord touch and fill people with the gift of the Holy Ghost this last week. Amen. And we're so thankful what God is doing. Amen. And God's interested in us. Amen. God wants to do it here. Amen. The Holy Ghost is not just something God's holding back. It's up. He's opened up wider. Amen. Open up wider to get what God has. There's something big. If I had a big old box and said it was a gift for you, you can't just do this. Amen. God has big things for us, but you got to open up big to get it. Amen. Open wide and let the Holy Ghost inside. Amen. God bless you. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise today. Brother Pearl, come dismiss us.
God, we thank you for your goodness today. We ask that you would keep your hand on us, that you would bring us back this evening to worship your name again. We ask that your blessing would be with us and your glory would be upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to heaven, how?
Together.